Blog Talk Radio. Child Abuse Now, scan show number 2539. This is Thanksgiving Day in the United States. We're glad to be here. My name is Lorianne Smith. I am the Alberta Ambassador for NASCA and hosting tonight's show. And we have Bill Murray here as my co-host in my trailer. And he's the CEO founder. And then we also have our Survivor Professional co-host, Felicia L. Reed. And she's a trauma-informed recovery coach. And she comes on every, I guess that would be fourth Thursday of the month, to join us and to lead the discussion. So this is going to be a great show. I'm really, like I said, I'm glad to be here. And I hope that you'll join us. You can call in, be part of the panel. We'd love to have you join us. You're always welcome. Any show, any night. Be sure and call in if you'd like to ask a question to Felicia or anybody, and or if you have anything you'd like to talk about. Our guest call-in number, 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. And you can call in anytime, and we'd love to have you. Like we said, we welcome everybody to the panel, to the show, and you can just, you know, if you'd rather sit and listen, that's fine, but we'd love to have you join us here. And we have our NASCA website. It's full, just chock full of good information. And it it's a great resource, actually. www.nasca.org. And you can go there and just click through the tabs and just see all the information that's there. Tons and tons of information. NASCA programs, news and articles, all about recovery, protecting our kids, participate at NASCA. We'd love to have you join us there, and we have a mission. We have a mission statement that we read. Is that you, Bill?
Yeah, you know, Lori, I just think we should mention at the top of the show before we go too far into it that this is an excellent time for people to call in. It is like the Thanksgiving night show, and we'd like to perhaps use some themes of, you know, how to get through the holidays, but also about being grateful, maybe being of service to others, things like that. But I just want to say that when we start a show like this, I want the listener to understand this is a call-in show where we don't have a topic chosen yet, because you can bring us the topic, you, the participant. And it's what we call an open mic forum. So it can be a question, or it can be just a discussion topic that you want to throw into the mix. And, of course, Felicia Reed, being here with us, will help us to answer questions from not only the trauma-informed recovery coach part of her profession, but also the fact that she's a survivor herself. And everybody on these call-in shows on Tuesdays and Thursdays gets to participate. It's not like we don't call on people. They just speak up. And we follow the theme that might start out until it feels like we're ready for another theme, and then somebody else presents another theme. So the topics are really up to the caller. And so it can be an exciting show, because you can have something that's been a mystery to you for a while, or something you've really wanted to ask and you can call in and ask that, you know. And so I just thought we should mention that. All of this will be within what you're about to read, which is our mission statement. It'll have something to do with the NASCA mission, of course, but there's thousands of topics within the NASCA mission. So I'll shut up again, let you go ahead and read the mission, then come back and get Felicia involved.
Oh, no, that's great. Thanks, Bill. And, we just usually like to read our mission statement, and that's found on our website on the main page. You can see it right at the top there. And we have a single purpose at NASCA. That's to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with only two goals in mind. Number one, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. Number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. And that's our mission. And there's a it's great to be part of NASCA, and there's a lot of volunteers that are making this happen. And, my thanks to everybody and for allowing me to be part of this, really. It's just wonderful. So, yes, be sure and call in. Our guest call-in number, 646-595-2118. We'd love to have you join us. I'm going to bring on Felicia. Hello, Felicia.
I am here. Hi, Lorianne. Hi, Bill. How are you guys? Wonderful.
I'm glad to be here on this Thanksgiving in the United States. I'm very thankful. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm in Canada. I'm from the States. I'm originally from the States, so I celebrate both Canadian and U.S. Thanksgiving. Yeah. So we're glad to have you here today.
Yeah, well, hopefully, as Bill stated, you know, somehow, well, I always get the Thanksgiving. I've had the Thanksgiving holidays to spend with NASCA, and I always like to start out by giving a few words around gratitude and connectivity. And I think, you know, this year more than ever, it's so important to, cling to gratitude, and no matter how things look, how great they look, how dim they look. It's just a perception. And let gratitude clear things up for us. So happy Thanksgiving in the United States, as Lorianne said. And, I'll just start out by saying, this week, of course, in all of the forums that I sit in, the main question, you know, was, what are you grateful for? That, you know, professional meetings, mastermind groups, everything was centered around gratitude. And my response every time I was asked, and it still stays the same, is everything. I'm really, really, really grateful for everything. The good, bad, the ugly, the beautiful. And I just find that constantly reminding myself to be grateful, and that gets me by. So hopefully again tonight, gratitude and connectivity during these unique times will be topics for tonight.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And especially with what's going on right now. I mean, you're so right. This is a time where we could all easily, people are slipping into ruts of depression and, you know, fear, what's happening, what's going to happen. There's all sorts of problems because of this COVID-19. On top of the regular problems that somebody might already be experiencing. So it's a bit of an overload for most people, I would say. Anybody that I've talked to, even in my own personal world, in the city that I live in, people are stressed out. And it's, there's a lot of questions, and it's kind of like, what's going to happen? You know, this fear of the unknown, the uncertain, and people are getting sick. People are dying. This is horrific. And so on top of our regular stress stressors in life. We've got this going on. It's been a long time, you know. So now, I guess, you know, I agree with you. We have to hold on to hope, you know, and hold on to and be thankful for what we do have, not what we don't have.
Yes.
That's the issue.
Yes. Even, Maria, you know, even people that are, you know, even people that are, you know, enduring, I don't like to use the word loss, but for lack of a better word right now, even for those who are enduring loss, I encourage them to, you know, have gratitude around what they had, the memories, the time, and just be grateful for every single thing. It's so important. And I know it's kind of hard, you know, when we're losing loved ones or homes or jobs or, you know, basic needs are being, you know, basic necessities are being lost too. We're resorting to things that we've never had to do before. But, I, you know, my position is just to throw gratitude around everything. You know, I had time with that person. You know, I was able to enjoy, you know, my home or dwelling. And I was able to at least know, you know, what toilet tissue felt like. You know, I'm just saying all this to say, you know, really, really keep that vibration going because it is an attraction and things will tend to recycle and be replaced. And I know we can't replace loved ones. I understand that. But new love for different things in different ways or the fondness of that time becomes more, you know, more special. So even in even in the losses or the deny, you know, things not being available or opportunities not being available, not being able to connect with people, just if we can find good or find something to be grateful for, it kind of makes it makes it feel a little bit better.
Right.
You know,
I agree with you.
I wanted to make a comparison between some things that are in my mind about what Thanksgiving is. I think most people would know the story of the first Thanksgiving, or at least have some general understanding that it was a coming together of some of the European settlers who had come to the New World. They were living in basically the East Massachusetts area, East New England, and they had a horrible winter. And following that horrible winter, they had made some friends with local indigenous people, Indians. And the Indians started to teach them how to survive the next winter by putting the right crops in the ground. So that all that summer, anticipating the winter that was coming, they grew things like sweet potato, which they'd never seen before, and corn, and the right kinds of crops that would grow in that area. And sure enough, when the fall started coming, the winter was upon them, they had enough food that they could see they could get through the winter. So they actually had, it was basically a party, you know.
A bounty, yes.
And it had to do with their gratitude. They had some of the indigenous folks at this event. I'm not sure if the turkey was really served at it or not, but it was one of the wild animals that was abundant in the New World and could be, you know, caught and slaughtered and eaten. So turkeys may have been there, I don't know. But whatever, they had plenty of food, and it was a celebration. So that's what they were doing. It, you know, and then I'm also thinking of the story of the cedar ceremony that the Jews had. That's really a celebration, too, about, you know, why do we gather tonight and so forth. It's a celebration of the survival of their people and getting to the promised land and, you know, God's bounty had taken care of them and so forth. It's really kind of a Thanksgiving every year.
Yeah.
And, You know, for me, I think this year we actually have extra stuff to be thankful for. Because those of us who are able to have a Thanksgiving have survived the equivalent of this cold winter when people were dying all around them that the settlers had.
Mm-hmm.
Or the enemies of the Jewish people chasing them till they got to the promised land, you know. We have suffered this COVID pandemic, and many of us are gone. Others are sick. Others will become sick. But those of us that are here, we need to celebrate the fact that we're here.
Even if
the situation's a little different than it used to be, than it was in previous years,
mm-hmm.
because that's how life is. It changes. There
mm-hmm.
isn't any,
mm-hmm.
it's not true that life is a consistent thing. Yeah, there are ups and downs and all kinds of challenges. This one is a societal challenge. You know, it's not happening to me or to you. It's happening to the whole world.
Yeah.
Really, it's a worldwide pandemic, which is kind of what child abuse is, too. I used to call it a pandemic. I used to use the word pandemic all the time. Now it gets mixed up with the COVID stuff, but I believe that it is a pandemic and worldwide problem that we face. With child abuse, and those of us who have survived, again, this is the ultimate thing I'll say here. We have every reason to be really grateful, no matter where we are, that we are at least where we are. We're making it through, and we should celebrate that with like you said, Felicia, a kind of gratitude for what we have,
everything
for what we don't have. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything. And I also greatly appreciate that take on, you know, the great supper that was had, and there was, you know, exchanging of gifts or presentations or whatever in their way. And I think we need more of that individually. If you can find your socks, present them to your feet. You know, I think we need to raise our vibrations a little bit. And once again, just be freaking grateful for every single thing. I can't say it enough. And I'm actually seeing that in my circle. I'm seeing people, you know, who have removed their titles, their bank balances, and their pompousness, and they're like, oh, nothing bad could ever happen to me. Their ego, and either go help at food distribution events or get in line to receive, because they are no longer in the space that they used to be in. So in my circle, I am seeing, you know, the connectivity and the outreach, and it's no barriers. It's everyone. And Bill said it best. You know, it just doesn't apply to one person or one group of people or one area. This is a worldwide situation that we're in, and a lot of people would say, the situation is because of COVID that we're in today. I like to go a little bit deeper. Personally, this is my personal opinion, but I like to look at things like, you know, from a humanitarian perspective, to say, you know, is it really COVID that has us here, or is it human nature that, you know, we're not prepared? We have, you know, these different levels in society, status quo, this or that. So I tend to look at things a little bit deeper. And I come back to gratitude and connectivity, and that should be in every element in our society. And I bet coming out of this that we will see more of it, because we learned, most of us, 99.9% of us learned, and we'll see more of the gratitude and the giving and, you know, maybe helping each other and removing some of the abuse, the inequalities and the denials, taking off the mask, and, you know, really, really getting into our human self. We've been on autopilot for so long, just thinking, oh, everything's okay, oh, someone else will do it, oh, nothing's going to happen. If it does happen, we'll be prepared for it. Well, heck, you know, there were empty shelves of toilet paper, and no one in their mind would have ever thought that things would come to that, not because of a snowstorm, but because of economics, a virus, or hoarding, or whatever the reason was in your area. So I'm saying all that to say that I think as human beings, we will hopefully start to look at things differently, and hopefully we have all learned. So that's where I am. I had a beautiful Thanksgiving Day, for which I am very grateful for. Every day is Thanksgiving for me. If you ever talk to me, you will find that, I'm pretty excited about a leaf that I can witness falling off the tree. I'm like, did you see that? That's amazing. How did that happen? So, you know, I walk around in this bubble, like, just full of, you know, high vibration stuff and observation, and always looking for opportunities where I can get in and help and do and maybe change some things. So hopefully everybody had, you know, a great Thanksgiving. And I'm here. Do we have any callers on the panel?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But I want to say, can I just say while we're waiting for people to call how grateful I am that you've been here month after month. And I know you're going to take a break, but
yeah,
we are so grateful. You know, your energy is wonderful. You just
mm-hmm.
showed a piece of it. That's why I'm bringing this up.
Oh.
You know, we never have a boring show with you, Felicia, and I hope you will come back. But I'm so grateful for what you have given our organization, and of course you'll always be a member of NASCA, obviously.
Yes.
I have not seen anybody call in yet, so let me just put it out again. This is a discussion show, and you can bring up a topic. It doesn't have to be, by the way, related to Thanksgiving, but we thought we would use at least some of the show to talk about the fact that it is a holiday. And, you know, one of the things that NASCA always does is we don't skip holidays. We don't skip shows on holidays. The reason for that is holidays are among the most difficult time of the year for people who suffer things like PTSD and so forth, or trauma, or get triggered easily and so forth. So if you're in recovery and you're having a tough time and, you know, and it's Thanksgiving, this is why we're here. We'll also be here. We'll be here Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Easter, you know, all of the holidays, if they fall on Monday through Friday, we will be here. In fact, we used to only change one show a year. We don't have to do that anymore because the Super Bowl used to be a show. We would move the show forward to a Saturday. Well, we don't do a Sunday show anymore. So from this point forward, we're always going to do shows Monday through Friday, no matter if there's a holiday or not, and especially if there's a holiday, because it's one of the most vulnerable times for people in recovery. So 646-595-2118 is the dedicated phone line to our show every night. And it's the same number that we'd like you to use tonight. If you're sitting out there and you've never called in before, give it a try. It can't hurt. You can always, you can always just listen on your phone, too. You can do that. Or you can jump in with a talk, comment or a question anytime you want. Again, the number is 646-595-2118. 646-595-2118. I'll throw it back to Lori. If we can, for a comment from her about anything she'd like, but I do have a little bit more I want to share about some of what Felicia said in the moment.
Okay. Well, I just loved the you know, what Felicia was saying about, you know, throwing gratitude around. And, you know, it's true because I know for myself, you know, there's been many times that I've sat alone and felt very unhappy about, things in my life, you know, things have just haven't gone right. But overall, I try to be grateful, like every day, for everything, for a roof over my head, for a safe place to sleep, because I know there's people out there that just don't have, you know, anything, no safety, no security, no food. They're being abused, you know. I'm very thankful, absolutely very thankful. I've always been very thankful to have a safe place to sleep. And because as a youth, you know, there was a few times where it wasn't so good. And so, yeah. You know, I know, you know, and two of my brothers were homeless. I mean, there's been a couple of times where I've almost been homeless. And so I know it's tough. You know, life can be very, very tough. And some days, I remember having days where it just wasn't very easy to find anything to be thankful about. But because of those times in my life, those hard times, and just like this now with this COVID-19 thing, what that's done is it's just made it so that now I can look back on all that. And I am very, very thankful to have had something to eat today. You know what I mean? And the fact that there's doctors down the street, if I really needed a doctor, I could get one, you know,
wow.
There's just, you're right. There's so much to be thankful for. There is, you know, if then that's why I think it's important to make, to think about these things. I don't make a list. I have done it in the past, made a thank, you know, a gratitude list. we've got Darlene here with us. Let me bring Darlene
right.
on.
Hey there.
Hello,
y'all.
Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And thank you.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you join us.
Thank you.
This is Lori.
I might get cut off because I'm riding at the moment, so we're going up and down a mountain.
Okay.
So if I get cut off, I'll fall back, okay?
If we lose you, we'll know what happened.
Okay. Sidewinding.
Okay, y'all know why,
yeah.
You know?
That's right. Yeah, we're just talking about sort of the whole topic of gratitude and being thankful. And so I'll just finish up. You know, I used to make, I have done it in the past, made things to be thankful about, a list, right?
Yes.
And I haven't done it for a while, but that's because I'm just thankful all the time now as I'm
mm-hmm.
getting older and progressing more through my healing journey. I mean, I have days where I'm, you know, I wish things were going better for not just for me, but for the world.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can bring that that feeling around in my heart of being thankful, which then makes me feel better. You know, instead of just being negative and down and, you know, depressed about this whole thing. There's things to be thankful for. So I try to every morning. I'm just like, I try to remember. Oh, yes, let's be thankful. You know, I'm thankful for, and I'll just kind of spend time thinking about what I'm thankful for. So that's important to do, I believe.
It
and
is.
Bill, you had something that you wanted to say, to add to Felicia's comments?
Well, I'll go ahead and let Darlene make a comment if she'd like to here, because I didn't anticipate she'd be joining us. I'll remember
okay.
what it is, and I can add it later. Go ahead, Darlene.
Okay.
Well, right now I'm kind of kicked off at the moment, but I could go ahead and say some things I'm thankful for. Right now I'm kicked off, okay? But I could be thankful that William came and rescued me from the situation today, last night, which I was sexually assaulted. And he came and saved me, and then we had Thanksgiving dinner and the nice place and all, but I'll be going home. Tomorrow.
So, I can be thankful for all that, but I'm sad and pleased with nothing. Well, what is it you're ticked off about? That's okay. That's valid to talk about, too.
I'm ticked off because when I was over there house sitting, they got back from their vacation, then they invited me to Thanksgiving dinner. Not William, okay? This was one of the people that I was dog sitting for. And I was going to go to Walmart yesterday and get the things to cook for Thanksgiving today, some extra things to cook and stuff. And her husband went out there to the vehicle. I rode down the window. He gave me the card for the buy her groceries, and then he proceeded to start touching me. And
I got mad,
and I went and called the police, and the police said, well, you know, we can't look at it as sexual assault. We can just look at it as harassment, even though he went and was touching my butt and everything.
Mm.
And they said, with him not being able to see it, they weren't there. With the law in Alabama, they cannot do that without seeing it. And I said,
right.
You know what? Y'all, the law's got to change, obviously, I said, because y'all never protected me when I was married and being abused. Y'all never protected me as a kid. And now I'm a NASCAR ambassador speaking against these kind of things happening. And then you're letting this happen and him get away with it. So
I understand. I have to say, I understand what they're saying to a certain extent, but I'm going to ask you a question in a moment too. But what I understand about that is they must be a participant in the event if you want them to testify. So that's what they need. And if they weren't a witness, they can't testify. You can testify, but you'll find it very difficult to find anyone who's willing to make a case out of it at because a district attorney won't bring a case unless it's winnable. If police officers see it, it's winnable. But
I had William was on the phone with me at the time, and he heard me yell out, "Don't touch my shoulder. Don't touch my back.
It's not enough.
Especially don't be rubbing my butt." So he heard all that.
I understand, but it's still not enough. I'm just saying.
They didn't even ask
I understand.
Him.
No, I understand that, but it's not enough to go to court with. If the cops had seen it, it could be. It could be. It might not still be, but anyway.
Said that they could charge him with was harassment.
That's
and they
right.
Said
something
I
like
could
that.
Go back. They said I could go back and get a copy of the report, and then they could go back if I want to file charges and arrest him for it. And I was thinking, he needs arrested for sexual harassment, not harassment, you know?
Okay, so here's my question. What did you do about it as far as the family situation? If I understand it, you were on your way to Walmart when this occurred. Did you eventually go back, you know, buy the food, go back to the house and celebrate with the family?
No, see, I was at their house, right? You know, because she's my friend. And I didn't even get to go to Walmart. He brought me the card before I left to go to Walmart. And he did that before I even got to take off to go to Walmart. So I got out of the car and went and told his wife what had happened. And he got mad about that. And then he said, I don't want her back in his house. She said, no problem. And then he tried to make passes to her where he could, you know, say, you know, that I was at fault. And she said, don't touch me, you're nasty. You don't need to be touching everybody, you know?
So it sounds like you made the decision to not participate in whatever the plan had been because of this incident, and instead you went, what, to William's house or you went home or whatever, right?
Yeah, I went ahead and got William to pick me up because I did not need to be in that volatile situation.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. That's a good decision. See, and I want the newcomer that's hearing this to understand you did the right thing. Now, here's the other part of it, though. Whatever you're feeling right now, because you're relating to us a bunch of feelings, sounds like there's some anger, obviously, and some resentment, obviously, and some, some ill feelings. Those are not affecting, I just want to point out to the listener, those are not affecting the person that that assaulted you. They're affecting you. So as soon as you can, let me finish the point.
Okay.
The best thing is to get beyond the resentment and into whatever gratitude space you can get into. This is what Felicia was saying, that we don't hang out in resentment, because you know what? We can all pick resentments all the time. But instead we try to position ourselves in a place of almost constant gratitude, is what she was saying, which I agree with. So go ahead and finish your thought, Darlene.
And see, what bothers me is I'll be doing fine and just sitting here, then all of a sudden I just start bursting out crying because I feel like, don't get around me, don't touch me. I feel like I've been raped again. You know what I mean?
I do.
That's the kind of stuff I'm having again, you know?
I do know what you mean, and it's perfectly valid that you feel that way. You were violated. Maybe not
right.
The same way as before, but it's still a violation, and you still have those feelings of violation. I want to validate your feelings, but also tell you that you don't have to hold on to them. That's an option. And that when you can get into this space of saying some prayer and calming down and getting into gratitude, and you'll be a lot better off for it. You can't change that it occurred. It did occur.
Right.
But you don't ever have to see that guy again either, you know?
I hope not.
Me too.
Oh, and Dave, he's made such advances and trapped me on the bed before, laid on top of me. See, that's my friend's husband. And he's done his things to me before. But this time I was smart enough where I'm like, I'm not going to let this happen, you know? No more. I'm going to call the police this time, you know? So But, you know, what really agitated me is he walked away because, see, he's got a lot of money, so he thinks he can buy the cops and everything. So he laughed like, ha, 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 I can touch you all I like. You can't do a damn thing.
Yeah, and maybe some of that's true, unfortunately. But, again, we can always point to things that are going on in our lives that, you know, are painful and resentful to us. Because we're kind of wired to do that, frankly. Now, when a situation like this occurs, it brings it all back. But we don't have to hang out in it, is my point. You can spend the amount of time that's appropriate, yes, but as quickly as we can, try to get back into the state of being calm, you know, realizing I can change things about this. I don't ever have to see that guy again. I can confirm to his wife this is why I'm not going to be seeing her again, because she'll be confused if I don't explain it to her. And,
yeah, she'll
come
and see me, but not around him, of course, you know.
Okay, well, whatever you can do. Thank you for letting me ask those questions and for being honest on the show tonight, because I think it's instructive. Don't you think so, Felicia?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, I want, you know, the audience that's listening or whoever may listen to understand that Darlene got herself out of, you know, a difficult situation unharmed physically, a little emotional, not a little, but, you know, emotionally triggered and, you know, emotionally hurt, and she's working through it. And this is what I want, you know, people to understand is that, you know, she mentioned the word gratitude when she came on. She's still grateful, but she's overcoming, you know, this experience, especially today around the holidays. And, you know, it will be with her, but she will manage it. And hopefully, you know, different decisions will be made. She stood up for herself. She got out of it, and that's the beauty that she didn't stay there and allow. She did call the police. So there's a lot to be grateful for. You know, we can ask the law enforcement individuals to only do what they can do, and no matter, you know, we get hurt. Even by people just looking at us sometimes, if it's a trigger, so look at the trigger, it can happen. The thing is that, you know, we go there, but we don't stay there. That's not where we live. We live in, I'm glad I got out of that situation, and to heck with those people and let them have each other and, you know, let them work through their issues, and I'm going to work through mine.
I want to bring this up, too. I'm grateful about something where the cops came in there after, you know, they told me. I said, well, I still have to go in there and pack and be around him until My friend William comes, which would be about another hour and a half. I would have to still be there. I said, after y'all leave, he's going to be cussing me out the whole time. They says, I don't know. And they went there and they threatened him that if he did that, I was to call them back and he was going to jail.
Right.
So I was protected in that sense. So that was great. So I'm grateful that the cop stood up for me and did that. So I did the right thing calling the police.
Yes. Yes. No one deserves, you know, that type of intimidation, fear, control, harm by touching.
No.
You know, we just send you lots of love and light and know that, you know, you did get out of it. And the issue is not with you. The issue is with those that have issues. So leave their issues with them. And try to separate from that and just say, I got out of it. Just keep telling yourself, I got out of it. I got out of it. Thank you. I got out of it. You know, if your belief is in prayer and God or whatever the higher vibration is, then take that and just, you know, keep telling yourself, thank you. I got out of it. Thank you. I got out of it. And let's just hope that that type of situation doesn't occur for you again.
Amen to that. Well, one thing I was grateful to, that the old me would have just froze and just took it and just hurt, would have went on my business, went back over there, had Thanksgiving, and would have still kept being intimidated. So, but the new me spoke up, and I ain't going to take this, and I got out of it.
Yeah, we get stronger. we get stronger in our healing journeys, and you know, Darlene has gotten a lot stronger, and she's more empowered, and that's something that, you know, we will always work on as long as we're here. Honestly, it does, you know, we manage what we go through on an ongoing basis, and then we become stronger at dealing with even ordinary things that might bother us or not be right for us. So, you know, kudos to you, Darlene, for recognizing a situation that you didn't need to be in and getting out of it. But most of all, you know, speaking up for yourself and getting a police call on record, because not only are you helping yourself, but you are helping other people so that, you know, there's some kind of record that this person, has the disposition and demeanor that he does or she does. And it may help someone else also. It may help someone else. So lots of gratitude, and then that situation, you know, is under control. And, you know, we also send, you know, prayer and light to the aggressors who feel that they need to bully or control by, you know, emotional warfare or physical touches, you know, because there's something that they are struggling with too. And as hard as it may seem personally, I have found great relief in praying for those who have hurt me. Praying for those, wishing them, you know, I wish them so much goodness in life, because when people feel better, they are better, and they will, you know, hopefully end what they do to people because they're miserable. So we don't wish anything bad. Yeah.
You reminded me of that, you know, how I make it easier a lot of times when I think about that reference in the Bible, like how Christ said, I'm giving it to God, you know. I mean, well, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Right.
And I think of that a lot of times as an example. And then so a lot of times to say, I'm giving it to you, God.
Yes.
It's all in your
hands,
you know. And then that's the easiest way for me to handle and get through things. Because if I think about things like all the stuff that went on in my life, I think I'd absolutely go crazy.
Yeah.
So if we don't have a higher power, got some kind of gratefulness, and instead of having animosity and rage towards somebody that hurt us, we need to pray for them. And we got a right being mad at them, but stay away from them. Please stay away from them. Get away from them, you know.
Yes, Yes, well, we're grateful that you turned the situation around and that you got out. You know, you weren't harmed any more than you were, and that you had, you know, resources and somewhere else to go. And I think that's what Lori Ann was, you know, just mentioning in her testimony tonight, that, you know, there were times where she was close to not having anywhere to go, or she knew people, her brothers, who didn't have, you know, homes or places to go. So,
right.
You know, if we can put one foot in front of the other, or whatever that looks like for you, even if it's a scooter, wheelchair, knee board, or whatever that looks like for you, if you can just put one motion in front of the other, that's gratitude. That's a gratitude opportunity right there. Yeah. So
thank you, Lori Ann. Yeah. Thank you, Felicia, too, and thank you, Bill.
Yes.
I want to point out that a lot of times we have these discussions where the issue of forgiveness comes up. I can't possibly forgive that person. We hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, this is a route to forgiveness, is to honestly pray for the transgressor's happiness and healing. If you honestly pray for somebody else's healing, you'll have a difficult time holding your heart against them, you know, being so cold-hearted against them. And that is, in essence, that's forgiveness. It's recognizing that they, like us, are sinners or transgressors,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, asking for help for them. I want to ask Lori, because she hasn't been here for a little bit. One thing that occurred to me, Lori, is that, and you kind of mentioned this, is another reason that what Darlene did for herself is good is it adds to Darlene's story. She'll never not have that story when she's going to talk to a newcomer in the future or anybody in the future. So that, you know, we don't think of that in the moment, but a little later we can see it as another chapter of success. Yeah, it was rough to get through, but I consider it a success, wouldn't you, Lori?
Absolutely. And that's just...
Thank you.
I mean, it's sad that this stuff is still going on, but it will continue to go on. But the power in turning it around and praying for someone like that, you know, for someone who is that sick in their mind or whatever, or twisted in their thoughts. Obviously they're not right in the head. You know what I mean? The power that gives you the power back in your court. When you choose light and peace and love and forgiveness, that puts the power back in your hands.
Right.
And because that takes that darkness away from you. And light, basically, you know, love and goodness and all of that stuff is, you know, can be part of your life. Yeah.
Could I say this real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want people to know that just because you forgive someone, don't mean you have to, after you forgive them, that don't mean you are saying, I want to be back around that person. Don't put yourself back in that situation. Like a sister, one of my sisters says, well, if you forgive such and such, you're going to be back around them. I said, no, you don't.
No,
You still hold them responsible. They're still responsible for whatever they did, and you don't have to ever be around them again. You know,
So I want to make it clear that the person, you know, even though you forgive them, that don't mean that you have to be back around them.
Yeah.
You
got to
keep yourself safe. You got to keep yourself safe and your kids safe and your family safe.
That's right. I mean, we need to keep ourselves safe, and we need to keep ourselves free from those who would hurt us or who would take advantage of us. And, you know, having, you know, praying for someone, you know, that they could change, and that they wouldn't do these things to hurt people. It doesn't mean that we're not holding them accountable or that we're going to want to go be around them. No, definitely not. We owe it to ourselves to be safe and to make those good decisions for ourselves, you know, as survivors of abuse, to set those boundaries and to make those really wise choices and healthy choices to not allow, like, you know, to not allow people like that to be around us. That's very, very wise, very smart. And it's unfortunate, but there's some people, you know, until they, if they ever do get, you know, get their own issues fixed, like Felicia was saying, you know, these people are messed up themselves, you know, they need help. And whether they ever get help or not, they need help. And, you know, it's, we can still pray for them and we can still, you know, hold that, that, you know, it's a personal choice to forgive, but I know that it was important for me to forgive. You know, I did a whole forgiveness thing for all the people that hurt me because I've hurt people. I was like, I want to be forgiven. You know, I'm not perfect. And, but that doesn't mean I want to go hang around with my abusers. You know, it's like, no, no.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So I was trying to make the point earlier that, you know, it adds to your story. It's, and this is what happens to all of us. When we work our way through these issues, we just get even more ammunition, frankly, to use when there's someone else, you know, we're working with. And I know Darlene works with people. She's our Tennessee ambassador. You know, she works with people. She's very active in the Zoom meetings that we have 3 times a week. So she has a voice, and she's not just hanging around. She's actually going out and doing stuff. And that brings up the topic, if it's okay. I think we've talked about the Darlene issue for a bit. If it's okay, I have a topic I'd like to just touch on. And that is that, you know, I mentioned that it's about being of service and coming from a place of gratitude. So I want to talk a little bit about the being of service, which I mentioned Darlene is. And I think all of us on this panel are. But specifically to me, the people may not know this because I haven't really made a general announcement, but I'm on my way back to my hometown, my hometown since 1980 of Los Angeles, and leaving Florida. And in doing so, I went and looked at what's going on in Los Angeles and realized that there's an opportunity for me to get reengaged there in a way that I was in the mid-90s and through the say 2005 when I started coming to Florida. Now that I'm going to be going back to LA permanently, all of a sudden there's a significant rise in the homicide rate. It's 25-26% higher. That's outrageous. And I've been reading about why this has been happening, and it's not just COVID. It's also that there's been an uptick in gang-related crimes, which is a big problem in Los Angeles, has been forever, but also the animosity between the police and the community that's arisen because of some of the activities during protests, even valid protests. The cops have no problem with people, you know, doing protests the right way, but and all the stories that have been going on about police brutality around the country, all the video that's come out, the knee on the neck stuff, you know, that's homicide, you know, and the crowd is really angry, and no kidding, but so are the cops angry that they get unfortunately lumped in with, you know, the small tiny percentage of people that do that stuff, and they don't. Nobody really talks about the fact that we rely on them for many, many, many things, public safety-wise. And here, you know, there's talk of defunding police and all this stuff. So anyway, the point is, I was involved in community-based policing for a number of years when we had this situation in the mid and late 90s, and we did correct it. And because somewhat of what I did and others, we brought the homicide rate way down. And we were seeing reductions of 10 and 20% a year. Now it's gone back up, and it seems like another opportunity. The point being that being of service doesn't have to be in the field of child abuse trauma. It can be anywhere, and it's valid. But if you're in recovery, you want to be of service because it's getting out of yourself. And it doesn't have to be. It can be working at, a homeless center or a hospice or a soup kitchen or, or your church or whatever. But making contributions of your time and your energy, whatever it is, and in my case it'd be to community-based policing, it takes you out of yourself and hopefully it can have a good effect on somebody else. Or maybe many other people, but somebody else. It's not a selfish thing, in other words, that we when we're of service. And it does not. The point I guess I'm trying to make is broaden your thinking about how I can be of service to beyond child abuse. Of course, keep it in child abuse, but there's a lot of good that needs to be done in this world, and lots of opportunities for us to participate. How about working at a hospice? What wonderful work people do at hospice, if you've ever been to one. Our guest from last Thursday, Jaime Romo, is a hospice worker. He's a chaplain for hospice. Oh, my God, those people are wonderful. And you do have to go through a little training and so forth, but they will bring you in. They want people to participate in this, and you'll learn so much about life and death and families, and suffering. And being grateful, if you work in a situation like that one, for example, there are lots and lots of lessons in being of service. And it will keep you sort of on a grateful glide slope, on a grateful path. Frankly, Lori, I think we all live in the 99.9 percentile of people who have ever lived. All of us. And, because of what you said before with the roof over your head and access to, to schools and healthcare, even as bad as it is, whatever it is, whatever level, it's still so much better than people have ever had it before. And we're going to make it better. We work to make it better. So I guess I'll be quiet now, but I did want to mention that being of service doesn't have to be only in our child abuse community. Can be outside, and it's perfectly valid.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to thank you, Bill, for everything that you do and you've done and all. And the people today at the Zoom meeting, there weren't that many people today, but that's understandable with it being Thanksgiving. But the people that were there really appreciated the fact that there was somewhere to go. So I want to thank you so much for providing that for them as well.
Of course. And that's the point. We don't ever, when people come into our organization, I make them a promise. I tell them, you will never have to be alone again a day at a time if you don't want to be. I actually tell them that.
Yeah.
Because it's the truth. There are so many connections to be made and people to meet and things to do at NASCA. It's absolutely true that you'll never be alone again. And, that is one of our huge fears, isn't it? All of us, even normies, have that fear. Because we walk around with a sense of being separate from, and it is an ego thing. Felicia's right. It is an ego thing. We think of ourselves as being separate from, while the truth is that's an illusion. We are all one. We are one of the same body and the same spirit. And some of us are present, and some of us are not, but we are all of one spirit. And we have to try and look at life that way. It's not easy, but if we do that, it's a way more comfortable way to be. And at NASCA, of course, there's so many people who put out their phone numbers and meetings to be had and shows to listen to and blah, blah, blah. You never have to be alone again a day at a time if you don't want to be. I always make that promise.
That's right. And this is Lori, and I'll just add to that. And it's like, you're right. When we step outside of ourselves, and the focus is not just on, we do have to take care of ourselves too, obviously. But when we take that focus off of our own ourselves and our problems and, oh, woe is me, and, you know, this is this, you know, whatever these issues are in our lives. And we turn our energy towards helping someone else. We get a return in that too, because it feels really good to help somebody else in whatever capacity it is. It doesn't matter, mm-hmm. like Bill was saying, what field you decide to get into, of aid and help to people. But there is the need out there, and you know, I know it doesn't matter what you can do either, because so many times, like, people say, well, what can I do? It won't make that much of a difference. It does make a difference. All of it does. And, you know, I have mobility issues. It's hard for me to walk around. I'm in too much pain, so I don't do a whole lot of walking. So I don't get out much, and also with this COVID-19. So I figured, well, what can I do? I just try to be a source of light and, you know, some sort of peace and joy to people online, because that's about all I can do right now. And it's that, but that makes me feel good to be able to give that little part of myself instead of just giving complaints, you know, or whining or crying about my own situation. You know, I choose to try to spread light and love and peace. And I figure in the long run, people would say, well, that, you know, that's not all that great, but it's every little thing that we do, it does make a difference. It does add up. So, you know, we can't all run out and start maybe getting involved, but there's little things that we can do. Like Bill was saying earlier in the week, we were talking on Tuesday where Bill was saying, you know, he was reaching out to people, making phone calls, just getting in touch with people. And he called me, and that made me feel really good because nobody phones me. And so, you know, I thought, that's really awesome. He made my day. He totally made my day. And that's these little things that people say, oh, they don't really matter. But they do. They really do. And so I want to add to that quickly, and then I'll let somebody else chime in here. But I just wanted to say it is the little things that we really need to be thankful for, too. You know, I think this COVID-19 really has proven one thing, and that's what's important to us. You know, that all of a sudden, it's not about the big house or the whatever, you know, the physical things that we might have wanted. It's about, wow, I can't even be with my family, you know, all of a sudden, or my friends, you know, I wanted to go spend time with my friends and now I can't because of this COVID-19. So it's kind of like all of a sudden it puts in perspective what's really important. And it's us, it's each other. That's what's really important. It's people. It's not stuff, you know. So it has put that in perspective for me anyway. And also, you know, to appreciate the little things, you know. It's just appreciating waking up another day. A lot of people aren't going to get that opportunity. So, you know, I just try to appreciate, like Felicia was saying, gratitude, just throw it around everything.
Everything.
I like that.
Just put around everything. And also connectivity, Lorianne. You mentioned, you know, we're not as mobile. None of us are as mobile as we would be under different circumstances. And we just find mm-hmm. ways to, you know, pick up the phone, you know, hop on a Zoom call, go yell over someone's balcony, hey, come to the balcony, you know, just find ways, you know, to connect that 6 mm-hmm. feet social distancing with a neighbor. Or I've seen some great communities where, you know, everyone meets on their driveway at a certain time, you know, and does exercise mm-hmm. or music, listen to music, or, you know, even exchanging things, drop on the porch, leave, go. But just keep, you know, keep connectivity going. And I encourage everyone, pick up the phone. Texting is great, but pick up the phone if you can and speak. A lot of us are, mm-hmm. you know, not interacting with people on a regular basis in person, of course, and speech is different. So if you can, pick up the phone. You know, join Toastmasters or some other groups or forums where you are talking and interacting, exchanging dialect and emotions and feelings with other human beings, and that is so critical to us, you know, not only keeping our language intact, because there are times, there have been times, proven times like this in history, and don't, can't quote when, but the language has actually, you know, changed because of isolation or loss, you know, great losses, where dialects change and the writing changes and things, you know, things of that nature. So it's important to stay connected for communication purposes, and especially as electronic centric as we are today, where we hardly write anything. Most of us, you know, hardly write anything. So I say that to say, you know, word therapy or, you know, puzzles, phone calls, if you can, make cards and mail them to people. I have been doing that myself. I have been randomly picking someone and just mailing a card to them, putting stamps in the budget, and then, you know, just randomly picking someone, you know, to mail a card to put a little note in. And sometimes I send them a postcard of an art show or something that I'm in. Not only getting the mail, but also for me, writing something to someone and giving it to them is a way to stay connected as well. And then there have been times when I've driven by someone's house and just left something on the porch for them, and I haven't seen them in, you know, years maybe, but still, you know, that outreach, that connectivity. And people, you know, like yourself, Lorianne, you said you can't necessarily get around, you know, like you would like to, or whatever the reason is for anyone else. But I do know that you being here tonight for NASCA is proof that, you know, we can be connected. You're in Canada right now. You know, I'm down on the east coast of North Carolina, western east coast of North Carolina. Bill is down a little bit further down from me in Florida. Bill, are you in Florida right now? You know,
Darlene? Yeah, I'm in southeast Florida, yeah.
Okay, Darlene is in, where's Darlene, Alabama?
Tennessee, but her phone call got dropped, but she's in Tennessee.
Okay. Tennessee, so here we are, all connected. And I encourage that. And I encourage people to pick up the phone randomly, you know, and just call people. Right, so much today, especially in my world, I have to schedule phone calls. And I'm like, this is just crazy as crap, you know. But it's reality. I have to, you know, text people and say what time's a good time for us to talk, you know, to get time in with them. And then sometimes I just pick a time and just like, oh, I'm just going to call. But the key point is to, you know, try to keep the communication going. And then there are times when people like myself, where you may be on a Zoom call every, you know, every night, and that's a bit much because you're on Zoom calls and it's a dinner time or it's, you know, craft time or whatever time you normally would do things on your schedule. A lot of our connectivity is happening almost as interference. So I say find the balance. Don't overdo it, but do something, right? And it could be very, very basic. There are a lot of places, help hotlines or tip lines or, you know, suicide prevention or other kinds of depression, you know, awareness lines or the NASCA line, where we can be available to volunteer. So we don't have to necessarily travel out. But I just want to remind us, gratitude and connectivity are great things in the race of humanity. You know, no matter where you are, what you have, what you believe, what you practice, those two elements will get you far.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like the idea of randomly selecting somebody you haven't called in a long time. I do this, and my explanation is I was just thinking of you, and I thought I'd give you a call. That's all I say, and that's enough. People are, they're happy to hear that somebody even thought of them, much less took an action, and it's not unusual at all for a very nice conversation to ensue, and or for a call back to be made, because you're not going to reach everybody you call. You'll leave a nice message. Hi, there's no particular reason for me calling except that I was thinking of you and I thought I'd reach out. Give me a call back when you get a chance. That's it. And you can make somebody's day, as Lori said. Heck, I tell my wife I'm going to give her 25 kisses a day, and for some reason she likes that. When she tells that to other women, they go, I don't get a kiss, like one kiss a month. But she does get 25 kisses a day when I'm there, when I'm with her.
Yeah.
And,
that's awesome.
I express myself, in other words. I don't hold back. And I asked the dog, a little lap dog that she adores and is with her, to compensate for me. He has to give her an extra 25 kisses every day when I'm not with her. She gets kisses all the time.
That's awesome.
And even a little story like that, you're just sharing what's going on with you. It means something to somebody. It's kind of touching, to share a little bit of something.
We need to keep reminding each other how to perform acts of being a great human. We need to keep reminding and empowering others, and that's a perfect example. Touch, appropriate touch is kiss, such as kisses, or phone calls, the electronic touches. But we need to keep setting examples of humanitarian efforts, whether it is simple or complex, as far as an organization delivering hundreds of thousands of turkeys. Okay, fine, great. That's a great humanitarian effort. But the little things, like Lorianne said, we need to keep reminding people. Put that stamp on a card and write a note and send it. And it could be a card that you made. Fold a piece of paper, make a card. We've all done that. It could be a postcard or anything, or even if you have things around your house and you think that, someone else can use, I've said this before, find someone that can use it and say, I know you like to paint and I had all these canvases and here you go. That is being a great human because it's taking others into consideration. So I want to add that to the list. Take others into consideration, connectivity and gratitude, and there you go. It's a great life.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think really the small representations that we've mentioned are among the biggest, really. So they're kind of the most touching,
yeah.
And they're the least expected. If somebody gets a postcard from you or a handmade card from you, and it's not because it's their birthday and they haven't heard from you in a long time, and it just says, I was only thinking of you, and I want you to know I consider you one of my best friends.
Oh,
gosh, it's gonna melt their heart,
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, and I have been doing that. I have a son in school, and I'm committed to every 2 days almost putting something in the mail to him, as far as us being connected, because communication, of course, when kids start to get older, they don't like, oh, mom, I don't have time to talk, or whatever the case may be. But it changes when you're a parent between your kids. But I'm determined to keep it going, to keep the communication and the connectivity going by sending something. And I just search around, or I make something, or I send a picture. I don't have to say anything. Sometimes I just put a picture in an envelope and I send it to him, and he gets it. He's seen that picture before. He knows it. And today I was with him for Thanksgiving dinner, and I actually saw some of what I have been sending him, where he was displaying it. And I'm like, I'm not saying anything, but this is some good stuff. You know, when you send your child, you know, cards and pictures, and they have a little area where they put them out, especially for mail, because they don't, you know, they don't, they're like, oh, nice card, thank you, and toss it somewhere. But I actually saw an area where he let me know that it meant something to him, but he did tell me, like, no snooping around, Mom, no snooping around. So I didn't say anything like, oh, you're putting up the card. No, I'll just keep doing what I know I have to do. That also helps me to feel connected. It's not necessarily always about him. It's about, you know, it's about almost like forgiving. Sometimes we need to do things for ourselves so mm-hmm. that, you know, it can help with the situation. And this is why, you know, he thinks primarily I'm sending him for things for him, which is partly true, but I'm also sending him communication for me. And that's the beauty of, mm-hmm. You know, reaching out, forgiving, and embracing others, and keeping things going, keeping it going, right? Keeping it going.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because, you know, what we sow, you know, comes back to us, right? It's like that old saying, you know, in the Bible, you know, what you sow is what you reap. And it's just so true. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing to be able, like, you know, I'm thankful to be here tonight with all of you, with you, Bill, and you, Felicia. And this show is actually making me feel better because I'm just thinking about all these things of gratitude and thankfulness. It really does get, there must be something in the brain, like endorphins or things that are released, right? It makes
like
you feel
smiling.
Good, you know?
Yes, it's very true that there are chemicals that are released at the acts of kindness and compassion and consideration and forgiveness. And I hope Darlene will listen to this later, but there are chemicals that do get ignited in the brain and the body that override the trauma chemicals. When we, one, smile, do acts of kindness, forgive, pray, there's a certain chemical that does get ignited, and it helps to, you know, overrule and override those other chemicals. So you said something really important there, Lorianne, and that is, yes, it is a chemical reaction. The body's very chemical and enzyme-oriented. We know this. And even something as simply as smiling, it's like being in nature. It's going to change things for you. And when you do it repeatedly, then it also, you know, it becomes the norm, and it suppresses. And I don't want to say suppressed like hides or, you know, denies, but it'll come to the top of the vibration chart faster than being triggered, you know, especially how we heard in Darlene, who was very triggered by her ordeal. And one way to manage those triggers is to, you know, take the brain to that file cabinet that I've talked about for years and pull out that drawer and say, I'm better than this, and peace out. And not even, you know, not even let the emotions go too far down the emotional path. It's good to feel, but it's also good to not stay in those feelings. And I know people that follow me, you know, are saying, why is she ranting and raving? Well, if you know me, it's not ranting and raving about what happened to me. I am actually educating, sharing, warning. You know, it's not the woe me, it's the look, guys, this is mm-hmm. what's going on in the world. You need to be aware. These are some signs and symbols and things to look for, especially in cyber, you know, organized groups. And, you know, this is what I have to give to you as a result of me surviving, you know, what I did. So that's connectivity too, connecting to other individuals, whether they are targets, victims, survivors, or whatever, to let them know that they're not alone and there's someone else that, you know, has experienced or knows about what they're going through. So let's all be together and get it together. You know, that's a big push of mine. Get it together. Just heal. Work on healing. And Bill and I, you know, we've said on past shows, healing is different for everyone. We're not all at the same level. We're not all at the forgiving level, maybe. We're not all at the, oh, that doesn't bother me anymore level. We have different levels, and we need to be tolerant and considerate of where someone may be on their healing journey, so we have compassion and empathy within reason, you know, because we would like people to, you know, embrace healing, especially for the forgiving part. And I know we've had some discussions, and Tammy's not here tonight, but you know, her thing is, I can't forgive them. I will not. And we just kind of accept that. Okay, we understand, you know, that's your disposition. And we just accept that and let her be on her journey, and we stay on our journey. So we need to consider where people are in their own individual journeys, and we stay focused on ours. We, you know, if we control or get the ego involved, then we're doing the same thing that was done to us as being survivors of emotional abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since you mentioned Tammy, in her defense, I want to mention that, you know, Tammy lives about a mile away from where I live here in Florida.
Yeah.
And yet we don't see each other very much, especially during this year. But she invited me to her house for Thanksgiving, and I had no plans for Thanksgiving. And I told her, you know, I don't feel comfortable doing that. But she has two children and a grandchild living in her house, and she herself is not, she's out, she's a social butterfly. So I'm a susceptible, in a susceptible category, and I don't want to risk that. So I thanked her very much and begged off, and she said, okay, then I'm going to bring you some food. So sure enough, she brings over basically three plates full of food.
Nice. Go, Tammy.
She left them
yay,
on the front porch.
That's awesome.
I saw her for a moment. And when I brought them in the house, it was an unbelievable Thanksgiving dinner. It was still warm. It was turkey and stuffing and four vegetables and some macaroni and cheese and you know, all kinds of stuff. And
nice.
She's a great cook. I had no idea.
Yes.
I had no idea. I didn't know
she could cook either, because she's always hanging out somewhere where there's food.
How would we know?
Yeah.
We wouldn't know. But I'm here to tell you, Tammy went out of her way to make sure that I had some kind of Thanksgiving by bringing it to me and delivering it to me. And she's a wonderful cook. So, you know, again, we have to be careful with how we talk about people, because we're all a mix. And we're we're in different places.
Yes,
and we all
true.
Have some.
Mm-hmm.
We all have things we do, you know, sort of towards the solution. And frankly, we all have things that we have that we do that are solution against the solution.
Yes, and the key.
And my
is
goal
the...
is to try and do as much as I can towards the solution, but accept the fact that being human, I'm going to make mistakes and have transgressions and so forth, and I'm going to try and learn from those. I guess is what I'm saying, Darlene.
Yep.
Coming on tonight gave us a wonderful lesson, and herself a lesson that I think, you know, will live on in Darlene and in me. I'll remember that story.
Yes,
and
I will
possibly
too.
Tell it. I may I'll probably tell it without using her name, but you know that that this occurred, and to me it was very quickly turned into a success within, you know, say 24 hours.
Yes,
and
I just want to say one thing more about Tammy and the dynamics that, you know, we have shared together, is that, you know, we can disagree, agree, or be at a standstill, but we will always say we're going to keep going. And it's the beauty of, you know, the shows that we've done together and Bill and the other participants, you know, watching that dynamic. And we come to the same conclusion is no matter where we are committed to continuing and to keep going. So I know we're coming down to, I know we're coming down to the time. And Bill mentioned that, you know, I was going to be taking a break. I am taking a break. So I can't think of a better way to sign off for a little while, out with it being very appropriate that it's gratitude, connectivity, it's Thanksgiving, you know, it's compassion and empathy and everything that we've spoken about tonight. And I just want to thank the NASCA family for, you know, everything that it's done for me and allowing me this space so that I could reach out and touch other people like Lorianne and Darlene and all the others that I have.
You have done such a wonderful job, Lori. Lori will attest to this over the years now that you've been doing this show and you deserve a break. We'd love to have you come back at some point, but that's up to you. And in the meantime, we are just so grateful for the contribution you have made and I know will make in the future. That you're listening to Felicia Reed, who is from Maryland, and you do yourself remiss if you don't make her your Facebook friend and so forth. You want to know Felicia, okay? For those of you listening,
that's a big statement right there.
So, all right, let me give it back to Lori. Lori, you can close out the show however you'd like.
Yeah, well, I just think this has been such a wonderful show, so important, and I hope that the people that listen to this, you know, live, and the people streaming in, and the people who will listen to this in the archive will just remember that you're not alone. You know, we're all in our different stages of our healing journey, and all of us need different things. We're all, you know, heal in different ways. But just realize you're not alone. And, you know, you call a NASCA member. We have on our NASCA website there a list of volunteers who put their phone numbers there, and you can phone them. And if you don't reach one, you just try another one. You just keep phoning until you get somebody, because these are all volunteers who will give their time to try to just be with you so that you're not alone, and try to help you find resources, and just to be a shoulder, you know, just to be an ear, and to be a support, right? So you're not alone. Or you can call a helpline. I mean, any helpline. And, you know, make sure that you reach out and don't suffer on your own, and don't stay in that sad place of, you know, of despair. There's help out there. And, you know, I'm living proof. I finally reached out at the age of 42. I'm like, thank God. So I just want to thank Felicia for being here, for all of your wonderful support and shows, and for everything that you do. You're just such a wonderful lady, and I want to hook up with you on Facebook. And
yeah, okay. Thank you.
And I'm not sure. I don't think that we are, so I'm going to. And I just appreciate you and everything that you're doing. And you just made me feel so much better tonight. So I could imagine anybody else listening is probably going to feel better too.
Oh,
and Bill,
I'm
thank
happy.
You. Yeah. This stuff, you know, like I was saying, it's like a drug.
Catch it, right?
It's powerful. Very, very powerful to take that light, that love, you know, that goodness, you know, and reach out to others with it, and then it comes back to us, you know. So this is the thing. So we have about a minute left. I want to just mention that tomorrow night's show is going to be a great show. We have Timothy Reiser Poff. He's the commander from the Guardian Angels from Easton, Pennsylvania, and you want to be there. That's going to be a great show. So that's tomorrow night, same time, same place. And I want to thank Bill for being here, as always, and for helping me do the show, because I'm relatively new at this. So thank you, Bill. New at the NASCA format. And I just thank everybody for being here, and anybody who's listening to the archive, I hope that you'll join us tomorrow night, be part of the panel, Guardian Angels. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a great night.
Good night.
I'll never forget. Blog Talk Radio.